is 4 o'clock, and with that, I'd like to call the April 20th, 26th meeting of the Rogers Waterworks and Sewer Commission order. First item on our agenda is a public forum. Open the public forum. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address the commission on anything that is on your mind? Seeing none, I'll close the public forum, and then we'll move on into the first item of action on the minutes. Those are minutes from the March the 16th meeting. Those were sent out in our packet.
Motion to approve.
Second.
This motion, second. Any discussion with commission members? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the minutes from March the 16th. Moving next into financial reports, the first one will be our financial report. Jared, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So this will be our financial report for the month of March. March is 9 months through our fiscal year. 9 divided by 12, our benchmark for comparison for our budget to actuals is 75%. Relative to that benchmark in the water fund, revenues are tracking under at 67% and expenses at 73%. And in the sewer fund, revenues are tracking ahead at 78%, while expenses are tracking under at 73%. Our charts here show our capital outlay, our biggest outlay. So for the water fund, we're at 41% of budget, well under where we thought we might be. That equates to about $4.4 million. And you can see that it's just ahead of our outlay this time last year. And in the sewer fund, our capital outlay is at 40% of budget. It's a lot bigger number, though. It's $19.2 million spent so far this fiscal year, and that's well ahead of what we spent in the two prior years.
Sure, just a quick question. I know we've got the dotted line. On those, the budgeted outlay, do you see closing that gap between now and the end of the year? Is it going to be something that just, I realize a lot of it's timing and completion, but do you see closing that?
It won't close the gap. And we'll kind of see that again when we look at the cash charts, how we're tracking there, and I'll touch base on that
okay,
again.
Okay, thank you.
So for billed revenue and consumption, you can see in the table there that year over year, that is this March compared to last March, we're in the positive territory. We've got increases kind of across the board for billed revenue, the revenue associated with consumption, as well as the actual water and sewer consumption itself. And then the charts here show that cumulative total. The first one for water billed consumption, through March, we're at $13.95 million. And you can see that is trending close to $500,000 below that dotted line. It's something we've seen from the very first month when we had a wet irrigation season. People weren't irrigating the way that they often do, and you can just see how that actuals line tracks really nicely under the dotted line all the way through. We just haven't caught up. There's the potential, that we'll catch a little bit of that irrigation consumption here in the last couple of months of the fiscal year. We'll see how the weather pans out and what people do with their irrigation meters. But for now, we're tracking under on water. Sewer's a different story. For sewer billed consumption, we're doing pretty well, $572,000 ahead of where we thought we might be this time in the fiscal year. Cumulative total is $15.4 million. For access and impact fees, we recorded $172,700 this month between water and sewer. So our year-to-date actuals are 42% of what we collected last year, just 27% of our current year budget. So, at this point, my calculations said we're $2 million short of budget on the water side and about $1.7 million short on the sewer side. So in all reality, with 3 months left this fiscal year, We're not making up that ground. That's a long way to go in 3 months. So that's affecting in a very significant way our net income. And here's our charts for net income. We did have to report a loss for both water and sewer in March. And that has to do with depreciation expense. We have a recurring monthly depreciation expense that we record, and periodically in the fiscal year, generally a couple of times a year, we have what we call a true-up entry, or an entry that syncs the budgeted depreciation that gets recorded first on our general ledger with the actual depreciation as recorded in our fixed assets ledger. So a couple times a year, we true those up, we sync them up. We did that in February for depreciation through January, but then neglected to record the actual February depreciation expense. It's about $300,000 on the water side and $500,000 on the sewer side that I had to double up in the month of March. So, but for those catch-up entries, we would have seen small but positive net income in both water and sewer. As it is, you can see for water, we've got net income of $5.6 million. That's 57% of budget, and it's under where we were for the two prior years as well. So, you know, you look at just graphically where this is, $5.6 million, and the budget was probably, I don't know, seven and a half or so. That's a $2 million gap, right? Well, I've got $2 million worth of water access and impact fees that I haven't collected so far this fiscal year. Also contributing to that is contributed capital, or the lack thereof. I think we're about $1.8 million shy of budget on the water side. I forget what on sewer, but it's also trending under budget for contributed capital there. That's affecting our net income as well. However, you can see that on the sewer fund, we are nevertheless tracking above budget with $7.99 million of net income as of March. Giving context to that net income number, of course, is our cash position, and this is not very different from what we reported last month. We're at a combined total between water and sewer of $61.3 million. In the water fund, that's $31.5 million, or about $3.5 million more than where we expected to be so far this fiscal year. And in the sewer department, we're at $29.8 million cash position, up $9 million compared to where we expected to be. And if we had to sort of, what this doesn't show is the projection, right? But we know, in addition to these actuals, I won't say we know, but we have an idea about what our capital outlay is going to be on our major CIP projects for the next 3 months. And we expect to continue chipping away at that cash position, continuing the downward direction that we had budgeted, but we're still not going to get close, really, to the budgeted cash position in either water or sewer. So this actuals line here is in all likelihood going to end the year well above that budgeted number for both water and sewer. And that's the end of the memo. We are in the middle of budget season here. We've gotten all the department requests in and a draft of the budget sent over to Brent, and he'll begin his superintendent's review, and we'll continue refining that. And the plan is to bring that to you guys at the May Commission meeting for our fiscal year beginning in July. I'll also note that we've got an open RFQ out there for our statements of qualification for professional services associated with our anticipated bond issues coming up. Y'all authorized us a meeting or two back to begin that process, and we've got an RFQ out there for bond underwriting services as well as bond counsel, and we've proactively reached out to a few of each and are anticipating hopefully some good responses there in the next couple of weeks. Any questions for me on our financials?
Commission members, any questions on financials? Seeing none, thank you. We'll move next to engineering reports. Sure, thank you. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon.
I want to throw this slide up here. Some of our inspectors have noted that on some of these commercial projects, they've been seeing some delays in getting meters from the time they submitted for the meter service application to when they were actually getting the meters put in. And we looked at some cases, and they were. And some of them are strung out by several weeks, like 4 to 5 weeks, and some of that's due to, you know, being a commercial site. But we felt the need to kind of pull all those departments in together and said, okay, let's look at this process. And, you know, you think, you know, you call in, ask for a meter, and we go out and set a meter, but there's so many touch points by field, by office, by engineering in a lot of cases. And so, you know, our workflow actually has a couple of dozen steps in there. And when we set this up in CityWorks, you know, it was a linear thing. This happens before this, this happens before this. And so we were looking for opportunities to streamline that process, to identify tasks that could be done concurrently, in parallel, and also to kind of just clear up some of the communications between the customers and the office and other departments. With the goal of reducing that time to about 5 to 7 business days, we think is realistic. So, been working through that, and that's a work in progress.
So this one took a month and 10 days, roughly. Am I reading that right?
Yes. About a month and 10 days. So that was probably our worst case. And you know, some of these are customer delays. If they don't come in and make the payment right away, then that, you know, delays the next step in the process. But, you know, a lot of it was, you know, 1 or 2 days here, 1 or 2 days there, and it just gets strung out. So just striving to provide that high level of service that our mission statement says that we strive for. So. Update on our solids handling project at the plant. Continuing to assemble the dryer. I know the belts have gotten in, so they were getting those installed this week. Some of the biggest things probably they'll be working on the site this month is going to be some miscellaneous metals for the aerial platforms, and they've poured foundations for some of the overhead tubular drag conveyance systems that'll be going in, so we'll start to see those coming up out of the ground. As well as yard piping's just about completed. I think they're doing testing on that currently, and they'll be installing the septic receiving station this month. So coming along pretty smoothly. And we have several upcoming projects and selections I wanted to make you aware of. Of course, we have our big plant improvement project. And we have been soliciting qualifications for a construction manager, general contractor for that job. That project is valued at approximately $118,000. We had 3 respondents. Those were due last Friday. And our respondents are Crossland Heavy, Flintco, and Garney. They all submitted books of qualifications, and so we have a selection committee who's got lots of homework to do reviewing those qualifications. We're looking at doing interviews on the 3 firms the first week of May, and coming back to the May commission meeting with our selection recommendation. Our water master plan, selected Burns and McDonald to do the next water master plan. And that's based on our amended annual qualification submittal. And we'll be we'll be negotiating a contract with Burns and Mac to do that work. We've selected WER Architects for the field operations facility design, and so we're also got our scoping meeting this week for that. Also, a couple of other projects, the Arkansas Street Waterline Extension and the Highway 94 North 2nd Street Waterline. These were two projects that were identified in our Water Master Plan. And they both kind of focus on pushing more water to the northeast area of town. I know we've had some issues with concerns with the airport out here not being able to support large industrial uses or having enough fire suppression for large aircraft hangars. And so these two projects are kind of these blue lines that you see here. These are part of our Water Master Plan. And if you'll recall, we have this emergency connection with Benton, Washington Regional Public Water Authority to the north. So that'll we hope to build a metering station and have that additional supply, emergency supply as well. And so we've selected CEI Engineering for the Arkansas Street Extension. And if CEI's firm has been doing most of the work downtown, and so this kind of picks up that Arkansas Street project where they left off and keeps on going north. And then Highway 94 North 2nd Street, we're negotiating a proposal with Half Engineering to perform that work. So we've got lots of projects coming down the pike here.
Do you anticipate these, other than the master plan, the projects to be started in next fiscal year, or will that be primarily the engineering scope and design work?
The water master plan will definitely start on immediately. Mm-hmm. And so that one will probably be started just as soon as we can. The field operations facility, if all goes well with that, I would expect that design process to last about a year. And so this time next year, we probably be talking about getting underway with some phase of construction on that project. I think same with Arkansas Street and Highway 94, probably budget about a year for design. 94's, both of those projects are going to have lots of easement acquisitions, so that's a little bit of a variable. But, I think the main driver here was to get the plans done, get the easements acquired, and kind of gauge that need that the airport has. If, you know, all of a sudden they have a big industry want to move in up there, we'll probably kick it into high gear and try to get that done. But we really wanted to get a plan put together to supply more water to that area.
Thank you.
Project status. I added this 8th Street and Hudson waterline loop. This is also kind of along that same line. This is just a small little, just a kind of low-hanging fruit connecting these dots here across 8th Street. Those are kind of two dead-end lines, and that also kind of helps push more flow up to the northeast over here. That's one that we're doing in-house mostly. We will be... We'll be soliciting quotes for a bore under 8th Street, just a big part of that project. But we're doing the design and plan on doing the actual construction in-house, except for the bore. We received bids for the sanitary sewer improvements from Chateau to 24th Street. That was one of the plans on our wastewater master plan. So I'll be presenting those bid results today. And South 12th Street sewer main extension is a small project that our in-house crews were working on this month, just south of New Hook Road, and I think they pretty much got in there and knocked that out in 2 or 3 weeks. And I think they're just finishing that project up. Development plans, these charts are going to look a little bit different. Had the pie chart in here. I think this might be a little bit clearer on what our workload looks like. Local plan reviews, majority of what we're looking at. Signed permits, RWs, utility extensions, master plans, site development plans, subdivision final plat, and public improvement plans. I've been talking about the trend kind of going down, and it's gone back up now. So we're back up to where we were at kind of the peak of last year. So kind of had a lull there in the plan review cycle, and we're definitely seeing a lot more come in the last few weeks. I've got my detailed list here, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Commission members, any questions on the engineering report? Seeing none. Thank you very much. Good information, as always. Next report, we have the pollution control.
Good afternoon, Commission. The phosphorus, is looking really good, but we did struggle a little bit on TSS compared to what we typically do. We had just with some of the rain, some of the filters starting to get pretty weak, so we struggled a little bit with a few things. You can see 144 on ammonia. We were struggling. We had some heavy industrial loads coming in March as well. I think you'll see some of that in the surcharges as well on the industrial treatment. But we were able to maintain permit. We weren't in any danger of busting that. It was just, it was a big month for loading for the plant. I mean, you can see that in our effluent. Everything was running fine, and we had the plant in a fairly good position to treat. It was just a big month on load. You can see here. In fact, for the whole year, we've been high. Again, that's something to keep in mind as we continue forward. So far, everybody seems to have come back a little more agreeable on the needs that we have as a plant to maintain their permits. We're getting good cooperation from people at this point. Fog inspections. Been a few strange things, like the Seven Brood just randomly deciding they didn't need an interceptor, which we found and had them put in a new one. Some broken stuff that it took several times to get fixed. But overall, everybody's doing their best and trying. You know, these are restaurant operators at this point that we're dealing with. These are not contractors, so it takes a little bit to articulate what we really need from them. But they're trying and doing good. As Brian mentioned, work is continuing on our solids handling as well as SCADA redeployment project. Today they were in fact working on a new conduit that'll help with. There was some interchange there where we were adding some additional fiber to help complete the ring there, and that was going in today. So it was a bit of a interruption into our plant traffic flow because they shut off one of our main driveways for septic pumpers that come in. This is different. I don't think I've done this since I've been here, but we've had a lot of failures this year on our maintenance budget. If you'll recall, back in December, we had a lot of the influent lift station pumps. I think we had a rash of those that broke down. Then I had to come to you for approval for a repair of the auger system coming out of our centrifuges as well. So we've had a lot of capital issues as well as just maintenance, small equipment issues. And we've got another one. And I normally would have just made the decision myself, but I felt like since we're already over budget, I felt like I needed to come to you before I spent additional money. we've got two grinding units that are in front of our centrifuges, and they make sure that the pieces that are going into our solids handling are small enough to pass through filters and things like that without plugging, so that they can get all the way out into the solid. Recently, we've been having a lot of plugs and things like that, so whenever we reviewed those, the grinders that are in front of our pumps have worn out after they've been in service for 7 years, 6 years. And so we need those to be the teeth, the actual, where the business end of them need to be rebuilt, which was the original plan. To do that, we have to pull them out, send them out, get them back, put them back in. So we'll have two periods where we're down and working on it, and then we'll be going back in with the same gearboxes, same motors. Alternatively, we had we felt like that was a really expensive rebuild for that. So we had a vendor come in, and they said, well, we can replace the whole units, have them both on site ready to go in, so you're only down one time. You can install two brand new ones, and that's $36,000. 36 is a little above what we're allowed to spend without coming to you. 30 is a little below. So I wanted to come to you guys and get a feel for your preference on that. I like I said, typically I would have just come to you and said, hey, if I had the budget, I would. I would just say, hey, 36, it makes more sense to me just from a management standpoint. But it's $6,000 for essentially convenience of operation. So I felt like I needed to come to you and at least give you guys input on that before I come to you with the recommendation. Both of them we can make work. But I just wanted to check with you guys and see what your appetite was, if you had a comment. Okay.
So the $36,000 is brand new ones?
Yes, ma'am, whole units.
And the $30,000 is to rebuild them, and how long will those last?
Should be another 5 to 7 years, assuming the motors last that long. We may... That's the thing. The new ones come with new motors. The motors will be the next thing that fail on them. Typically, the motors are going to be good for 10 to 12, maybe 15 years. That's not a guarantee. They're only guaranteed for 5. But what we see typically is about 10 to 12 years out of them. So,
Todd, I always appreciate your willingness to be transparent, bring it to us.
Right.
I yield. I mean, Brent, this is a call.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you all can discuss that.
And that accident.
Make that decision, but that's
right. Yeah, that new rate is 42. It's
42,900.
Yeah. I would yield back to you, Brent, to you all. Just that's an internal decision.
And right.
Okay. If it's something that then requires for us to act upon, I just appreciate you sharing the information. Right. But that's really a.
Okay, well, I stand corrected. It sounds like we can act on either way. I just.
It's a value thing.
It's much better. Just
do it once. Yeah, it's really kind of internal, okay. Brent. Y'all, whatever you decide, if it needs to come back to us for action, you'll come back with a recommendation, and we'll act upon it.
Good. We'll do it then. In a different area of the plant, it probably wouldn't be as big a deal. Solids handling is just our tightest squeeze right now until our new facility gets built. But anyway, thank you guys for hearing me out on that. We were able to replace our operator with an experienced operator. He was a past member of our team, productive, moved out to Arizona for a better job offer and a management position, and didn't like Arizona, so they came back here. Took him a little bit, but he found an opening and applied. So we're happy to have him. It saves us from having to train back on a dryer that's about to go down or have everybody shoulder the load. So very fortuitous. We did treat 377 million gallons in March. Typically no rain, that'd be 280. So almost 100 million gallons of rainwater. Average daily flow was 12.2. I remind you, our permitted capacity is 14. That was 5.25 inches of rain over 8 events. And typically for March, we're looking at about 3.5. So, not terrible for a rainy month. Any other questions for me?
Seeing none? Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Well, let's move into, there's no old business to address. We'll move into the new business. First item under new business would be bid results for Chateau Sewer Improvements.
Yes, this was identified as project number 3 on our sanitary sewer wastewater master plan. There's an existing 8-inch line. This is down on Chateau Drive off of 28th, just south of Walnut. There's an 8-inch line that connects to our trunk mains and runs kind of through this neighborhood and up the creek behind some of these businesses along Walnut. There's O'Reilly's and a couple of restaurants and some things over here. Running up to this new development that's the Walnut Commons there along 24th. We coordinated with Walnut Commons and came to commission and had an agreement with that developer for them to build this part of the sewer. And so this will keep on going downstream all the way, replace this 8-inch with 12 and 10-inch sanitary sewer to support further upstream growth. I believe we earmarked $1.2 million for this project after the development portion there. And we solicited bids and opened bids last week. We received 3 bids from Steep Creek, Bennett Incorporated, and On Point Excavation, LLC. On Point Excavation submitted the low bid of $953,613.08. We have not worked with On Point Excavation in the past. They are currently doing a pretty good sized water line job over in Bentonville, and I did speak to engineering staff over there, and they've had pretty good experience with them on a over $500,000 water line job. They're a fairly new company with some experienced owners, and so we feel comfortable making the recommendation to award the bid On Point.
All right, thank you. Okay, so we have a staff recommendation to award the bid sewer improvements to Point Excavation, we'll see, in the amount of $953,613.08. And with that, I would entertain a motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to approve Point Excavation LLC for Chateau Drive to 24th Street. Thank you.
So, Brian, just real quick, how does that get communicated to the people of Chateau? I mean, they've been through a lot, and I had somebody ask me today, you know, what's going on with the sewer, and, you know, how does that get communicated to them?
Sure. Yeah, once I've been, so the customers were actually going to be in their yard. I've been talking to them for several months because we had to acquire some easements back there.
Okay.
And once we have an initial sit down with the contractor and figure out what that schedule is going to be, so generally we'll start with an auto text and say, you know, this work should be happening in your neighborhood. We'll also do a door hanger. I'll put a letter in there with my contact information in it. And if they have any questions, they can call, and it'll give them kind of a brief overview of the project.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, because I know they've been through a lot.
They have. Matter of fact, with this project, I know we had a design we started with, and then the tornado came right through that area, and we had to redesign quite a bit of it. So,
yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Those, and just looking at that picture, there's 6 or 7 that are directly impacted with those water lines that they run through. If I were one of them, I want more than a door hanger or
right.
more love. I want somebody at me. If we can, whatever we need to do, I would like for us to do a little, if you can work that in, Brent, is whether that's just a meeting, but that one-on-one to say, hey, here's where it's going, to let them know. And again, I'm just looking at the visual. But if I'm one of those, that looks pretty close to where I live, and on those, I'd like to just spend a little bit more time with them and make sure that they're aware. It's coming by. That's coming behind my house pretty close. That's coming by my house. That's going on the front yard. I'd like to know more about it and some timing, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
It would be,
yeah.
That, I'd, yeah.
Will we be utilizing the website as well?
We will. So what I've done is today I'm getting our detailed alignment put in GIS so we can refer them to the map to show exactly where this is going to go. So we aren't following this exact alignment. We're actually coming down the street for a ways until we get between these two houses. There's a drainage easement, and they're coming back through here, and then we're getting away from these houses because we didn't want to dig that close to the foundation. I mean, they built the sewer first, and then they built the house. And so that's why we had to renegotiate those easements to pull the easement and sewer line farther back away from the house. But definitely these two properties, and this is the only one I haven't talked to yet, so I probably will do a
Thank
door
you
knock there.
Yeah. I trust you all. Again, those that look like they are more impacted than others, so to the degree that we can communicate with them, I think it'd be appreciated.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks. Okay, the next item is item number two, and it would be the renewal of property insurance. Packet information. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So in February, the commission waived competitive bidding for property insurance, allowing us to continue with year three of our three-year rate lock that we have with Cincinnati Insurance, facilitated through our agent at the Anchor Group, formerly Rogers Insurance. So after that, we went back to the Anchor Group and provided them with an updated list of locations and values with only minor changes from the list that we provided to them last year. You see at the top of the sheet there, the total amount of coverage. The net result was about $500,000 less than the amount covered last year. And it resulted in a slightly lower quote from the Anchor Group for the upcoming year. So with a $10,000 deductible, $4,248, and the optional earthquake coverage is unchanged at $7,588. That earthquake coverage has a $25 million limit and a 5% deductible. Again, the term is set to start on May 9th. It'll be 1 year, the third year. And it's the same contract, so there's no changes to the deductibles or policy exclusions or anything like that. So staff's recommendation is for approval of this property insurance renewal with the Anchor Group for $94,248 with a $10,000 deductible and with optional earthquake coverage costing $7,588 for a combined premium of $101,836.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the Anchor Group.
Thank you.
For renewal property insurance. The next item on our agenda would be resolution 26-12, and that is a resolution for metering equipment, infrastructure, software, services, related equipment, waiving competitive bidding, and authorizing related agreements. And for other purposes, Johnny.
Hi, how are you? So before we get into asking for approval of the resolution, I just want to give you a little history of why we're here, or a little bit of information. As it says, you know, we currently use the Itron FCS. They're going to be doing away with that in 2028, but we don't want to be towards the tail end of that, waiting with all the other cities that's changing, and that's, you know, all of us changing at the same time. So we kind of want to be proactive, get out in front of it a little bit. And what this, if y'all approve it, one of the things it'll do is allow us to go to Itron to Metra. And Itron to Metra is a cloud-based service, which helps IT and everything. But it also helps our customer. It'll be a portal that our customers will be able to use. They can go on and see their previously monthly, daily usages. Which we also feel will also aid our customer service people because, you know, somebody's calling in complaining about a bill. They say, hey, pull up your bill on your website, and they can go through it together and, you know, and come down and say, well, why did you have 10,000 gallon usage on this day or something? And, you know, and they can say, well, we spent filling the pool. Well, that's where your water extra amount is. And so this gives us a chance to better serve the customers. And this is not in our current budget. It'll be a budgeted item for next year, but we're coming to you because what we're trying to do is be, again, proactive. Come July 1, we want to be able to switch, flip the switch to Tometra on July 1 when we go into the new budget year. That way we do not have to renew our FCS contract for another extended period. We'll go ahead and start with y'all's approval. And after Robert gets through writing up, going over the new contract and we get it sent in, then we would be able to proceed. And they're already got a lot of our accounts. They're putting them in. All of our accounts, right, Jerry? You sent all of them. So they have all of our accounts, and they're already being proactive too, wanting to get started. So when comes July 1, we can make that switch. So what we're asking for is you approve Resolution 2612. The initial setup and training will be $47,985, and the yearly fee, maintenance fee, will be $22,968.75. So,
Johnny, is that so? For what period of time? I say the $22,000 is for a year. Are we signing up for some period of time, and does that then stay the same for that period of time, or is there some sort of escalation as we grow? Obviously, yeah. There's going to be more numbers.
Well, the we have in there the endpoints. We have enough endpoints. I think up to 500,000. I think is what our endpoints are. It'll be quite a while before we get to reach that, but that I'm assuming, it's like every other maintenance contract that's out there. You're going to see a 5-8% increase periodically as it goes along. But
how many meters is this?
That's all of our meters, and that's also what we use for our leak logging. ITRON's what we use for our leak loggers too. So, when we go out and read our meters and it shows a leak, it's the same system. It's going to be a little bit, the M-Logon is actually going to be a little bit more advanced than what we currently use in the FCS portion. So.
So how long will it, I'm absolutely for this, I think this was done years ago. How long will it take for us to cycle through it all?
This, when we flip the switch on July 1, now it also gives us the chance later if we decided we wanted to switch to AMI or we wanted to go to certain portions of town AMI, we have that option now without rebuilding everything. So, it's not something that we're looking at going AMI right now, but we do have that avenue later if we decided, hey, we want to do the AMI, and then the customers can see their bills pretty or their usage daily during the month even.
So this is just the software
for us to get to this Tometra, but it also, like I said, it aids that the customer can log in and see their month before or the months before and look and talk usage and be able to look and calculate usage and everything. So
does this happen to give high usage warnings?
We can set it to give high usage warnings. There's a couple of other things that we can do in there also that would, I think we send out the Twilios into Metra. There's a way that would be automatic if the usage was over a certain amount. We can set the usage in there. If a customer uses over this amount, they automatically get a notification, hey. So, and I think that'll help with the customers too up front, not having, getting that instead of waiting 2-3 months and getting the bill and then they're calling saying, hey, why is my bill? Because, we bill in the rears and everything, but this gives them that more almost instant message there and the instant communication.
Well, and John, I think it's something that's needed. If I got a problem, I got a problem today. I'm going to need to know about 45 days from now.
Yeah.
I get the bill and go, well, what the heck? I didn't see the water. And then now you're in the next billing cycle before you actually realize. So I think this is certainly more user-friendly. And much like Janae says, be able to set some sort of parameters in there that if you've got a usage that's higher than 10%, you want to know. Because, again, you want to know about it quickly. And then it takes time sometimes if you've got a resolution. So what's before us, though? So with this is what we're being asked to approve today would be a total of 70,000
$953.75 would be the summation of the, I guess, the starting and then also first year.
Yes, sir.
And even though, Brent, I know indication was it's not within the budget this year, will the money, are y'all good with you and Jared as far as
well,
with, expenditure this
with,
year?
With Itron, it will not be an expenditure.
Okay.
They will not charge us until we flip the switch. They're doing all the work proactive for us, free, not free, but getting everything ready for us to go live July 1.
And that's what I'm clarifying. We're going to approve it. It's not going to go into, it'll be built into next year's budget. Is that okay? Okay. That's, just want to make sure. Okay, commission members, you have.
I'd like to make a motion to approve. My only request is that we turn on the
okay.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion, Darren? Any questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 2612 and all features associated with that. The next item.
No, I have one other thing I want to discuss. It's not on the agenda, and apologize. Well, you'll understand why. For the last week, we wanted to notify y'all what's been going on for the last week, just so when you see it in the news, possibly later, it's not going to be a big surprise to you. But for the last week, we've been supplying Bentonville water. They've had their 48-inch water line shut down. They had some repairs again over around School Avenue and over in, off of Dixieland. But then also over on the 112 and Mount or Pleasant Grove intersection there on 112, they're going to, they have to, Bentonville had to take their 48 around where the state's going to build the roundabout right there. So they're having to had to reroute their 48 around. So that also gave them a chance to get in there, put the T's on and the valves, and go ahead and start laying their 48 around to get that out of the way. But we've known about this for a little bit. You know, we've been in communication with Bentonville on doing this. Just because where we're at right now, we didn't, in the world, we didn't want to make it public until after we kind of got through with it. So we thought they were going to be off of us today, but they did not get their water. They did not have an ADH person to test the water on Sunday at Beaver. They're testing it today. Hopefully, if the tests come back, they'll start the process of coming off of us first thing in the morning. And by tomorrow afternoon, they'll be off of us completely. So, and I can tell you on our side, everything went really well. like I said, there's a few hiccups here and there, but for us on our side, we were able to supply them all the water they needed and be able to take care of two cities. So just wanted to let y'all know, like I said, before y'all saw it in the news or anything, but we have kept it as quiet as we possibly could through this time that we were doing it. So,
I'm not sure what to say other than I think that's all I hear is positive, the ability that our two communities can work together and that we can, and I know if we don't get to the point where that switch has to go the other way, but if it did, I think we're just good neighbors. That's the way it's supposed to work. Okay, Johnny, thank you for the report. The last item we have, so in our resolution bylaws, the chairperson serves for a period of 2 years, and I was elected May the 2nd of last year, or 2 years ago, and so my term would end May the 2nd. So I guess in preparation for, we need to elect a new chairperson for the commission, and again, they'll serve for a two-year term. And so at this time, the chairperson that we would elect today will then serve and basically take the May meeting. So with that, I'm going to open the floor up. We need a new chairperson for the next 2 years.
I would like to nominate Janae.
Janae, would you be willing to serve as chairperson for 2 years? Okay, we have a motion for Janae.
Second.
We have a motion second. Any further discussion?
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, there will be none opposed. So. Anyway, Jen, I thank you for your willingness to serve, and again, for all the commission members. And so with that, I'm going to close the meeting out today. We'll adjourn, and then for the May meeting, Janae will take over. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second.
Multiple motions. Second. All in favor, we're adjourned. Thank you all.